sitting here in GSA Media Studios today with Steve Miles. He is the retail support manager for Xbox. And why don't you go ahead and give us a little intro, maybe some background.
Well, as a retail support manager, mostly what I'm doing is making sure that the kiosks and the point of purchase, or POP as we call it, displays at the retailers are all in working condition. So we have a group of people who we hire to go out to a lot of the different stores, making sure that the kiosks are working properly, and when they're not working properly, a lot of times they'll need help in troubleshooting what the problem is with the kiosk. The kiosks, for those that don't know what it is the, I would call them machines, or the...
Is that the little setups that you see in the store?
Yeah.
Where people are, kids are flocking and playing?
Right. Yeah. It's a display that allows kids to be able to walk up, or whoever, walk up and play the games, see what they do, get information about them.
Right.
There's some really neat features that are in it, too. Prior to this, all they could do was play that, but we've added a lot of things into it that make it an even richer experience for them.
Very cool.
And probably also makes it perhaps a little more complex to support as
Definitely.
Well.
Definitely. Oh, yeah. One of the things that makes it a little more complex is what we're providing just with Xbox 360, or starting with Xbox 360, and you have the ability to walk up and put a memory unit, or MU, into the front slot, and you can download things like themes or special cars for games have been on there before. There's probably going to be different content as time goes on, but it's nice that people have the ability to go into a store and get content that they can only get at the store.
So do they pay for that content, or they just
no.
It's just like they hear word of mouth or on the web or something that you can go get these special cars for this game?
Exactly. It's free for them to download it. Sometimes there are special downloadable materials for particular retailers. So certain retailers sometimes have things that are only specific to them. But there are also things that are, I guess you would say, more generic that all of the retailers have available. For instance, there's four themes that are out there that if you want a theme for your Xbox 360, you can download it from the kiosk. And the best way to really find out what's on the kiosk is to just explore the kiosk itself and the Xbox console and see what's located on there.
When you say you're supporting those kiosks, so is it typically that the store will call you and say the kiosk is acting wonky, or you said you had some people that work with you that go out and do things?
Exactly.
Are they periodically going out and checking on the kiosks, or upgrading them in any way, or is it just basically you work with the stores tell you what's going on? And,
Actually, it's all of the above.
Yeah.
It's a very complex model that there are a lot of stores out there that have an agreement with Microsoft that we will have a third-party company come out and service those kiosks. There are other stores that don't have that agreement, and it's up to them to service it themselves. Mm-hmm. So what they'll do is they'll contact our call center. Our call center will work them through the troubleshooting and then put in orders for parts they might need, or help them to fix things without parts, whichever the case may be.
So how do you interact with the product group, and how does that kind of relate to your kiosk world?
I've actually got a very close relationship with the product group. There's a small, hardworking team of people that design all of these kiosks, and it's a very complex apparatus because the console itself is complex. I mean, it's of extremely advanced technology, but everything that goes around that in the kiosk adds additional complexity. So when you add in things like the ability to download something to the memory unit, when you add in things like what we call the glorifier. If you see some of these kiosks, you'll see a light underneath it that really makes them visible. We call that a glorifier. Well, if one of those goes out, we have to replace that. There's neon lights and just all kinds of different parts of the display that the average consumer doesn't have to worry about. But a retailer has to make sure that it looks good, that everything's working properly, and so when something goes wrong, it's important for the call center to be able to work them through that as quickly as possible, get them the parts they need, and make sure that it looks good.
Who designs the kiosk? So is there a set design, or does the store participate in any sort of look and feel of that at all?
It's actually both. One of the things you'll notice as you go to a variety of stores is that different store chains have different kiosks. There are certain store chains that have special needs. There are certain store chains that use the ones that Microsoft designs, and there's things in between that, too.
So did you have any involvement with the demo kiosks over at E3?
I am not familiar with exactly which ones they used, but if there was a kiosk at E3, then it would have been the same ones that we're using out at the stores, because the E3 environment is very similar to a retail environment. You have a lot of users coming in. They're going to be doing a lot of interactions in a small amount of time. That's exactly what the retail ones are intended to do, is handle a lot of consumers coming in, playing the games, and be able to stand up to a certain amount of abuse.
Right.
And that's exactly what the ones at E3 would be as well. When you ask whether or not I was involved in it, before we launched the Xbox 360 and the Xbox 360 kiosk, I was involved in the meetings where the designs were being gone through. And on a weekly basis, I would have input on, well, this was going to be a support issue because I feel as though it wouldn't be a good interaction for the consumer. And they gave me a lot of input on that. So I feel pretty good about that.
So do those kiosks, you mentioned Xbox 360. Did we place kiosks in stores before 360 was launched? I'm assuming that's a venue for us to preview games possibly that are coming out.
Exactly. Okay. Before Xbox 360, we did have the Xbox kiosks that were available in stores. And the whole purpose of the kiosk is not only to give information about the Xbox 360 or the Xbox and the console, but also Xbox Live. It tells about things like the additional accessories that you can buy. It talks about the different features. So it's intended as being a one-stop location for information that they can actually, the consumer can interact with. And so we've done that prior to this on the first version of Xbox. Now with Xbox 360, we've learned from some of the issues we ran into with the first version, and we've improved it. And I think we've done a really good job.
Very cool.
So what would you consider to be the hardest part of supporting some of these retail kiosks?
Well, it's something I alluded to before, or actually spoke specifically about, and that is the complexity. When you look at just the console, it's extremely complex, and then you add the additional complexity of all of the framework of a kiosk that has to attach to it. It's not just structural things that are being added to the kiosk for the console. The console integrates differently because of certain requirements that we have. And for that reason, when something goes wrong, that's the only way I can explain it, if something occurs that we'd like not to happen on the kiosk, we can't assume that the problem is with the console itself. Sometimes it's some of the electronics that's around and interacting with the console. And trying to troubleshoot that can be pretty difficult.
What do you enjoy most about your job?
I think probably the broad impact that having support for the kiosks gives me on the consumers out there. It's interesting when we first launched back in October of 2005 and the kiosks got out into the public, it was exciting to watch the excitement on the forums and on the internet about this, because it was the first view that people got to be able to interact with it. So it's great to be able to be on the front lines, where when a consumer first gets a chance to interact with the Xbox 360 platform, I had an interaction or had some involvement in what happened. So that makes you feel pretty good.
What would you be doing if you weren't here today working?
When I'm working, what I'm mostly trying to do is make sure that the information that the call center needs to resolve issues that the retailers have exists in a place where they can get to it. So what that means to me most of the time is that I'm trying to make sure that the content they need is put into what we call the knowledge center. It's a big database of information where a call center agent gets a phone call, they need information about a particular problem, they can go to this database, get information about how to resolve the problem, and then work the retailer through that. So I spend a lot of my time in gathering that information, making sure that it's easily readable, it's in a good, understandable format, and then putting it out there where they can get it.
Because it's early in the morning, I'm kind of mumbling this morning. What I meant to say was, What would you do if you didn't have to be at work today? What would you be doing?
Oh, I'd probably be playing Xbox 360. I still play a lot of Xbox 360 because I really enjoy the game itself and a lot of the games that are on there. I spend probably more than I should buying games that play for the Xbox 360 because I just love playing the games.
That's great.
So would you say that a majority of the content that you create or source is internal only, or do you also deal with some external content for customers?
The source comes from really two sources. Source comes from two different sources. We source the information from both the internal product group, and they often have information about, okay, this is a change that we're making. Here's information on it. Try to make sure the call center is aware of it. We also have...
Oh, sorry.
We also have a information we'll get from our what we call our field servicing team, and that's the people that go out and take care of the problems that are out there. Sometimes they see so many different kiosks in so many different environments, they see things that we would never see, and they can give us feedback on, hey, we fixed this, and this is how it worked. We may not know that here at Microsoft, and so we have to get that information, put it together, and make sure that all the call center and all of the rest of the field servicing group knows about that.
Okay. So then that content, when it's all said and done and finished, is mostly for internal eyes?
Yes.
Essentially?
It's all for internal eyes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
How does somebody, I'm just, this kind of intrigues me, this whole, you can go out and get, you know, different cars for a game or mm-hmm. something. How does a customer find out about that? It's just through forums and...
The content that we put on the kiosks resides there so that it's in a very easily discoverable location so that once somebody goes to the kiosk, let me give you an example. If you want to play the demo of a particular game or if you want to see information about a game, you go out to the games tab that's out there on the kiosk, and you get information on it. You can play a demo of it. You may see a videotape of it. It depends on what the game is. In that same location, you may see things that be like this extra car that we've talked about. In the future, I'm sure there'll be other items that you can download from there, and so it's very clear from this tab exactly what's available. So we don't give a lot of information outside of that because we do want people to be able to see that as a location where they go to get more information.
Right. You want to kind of encourage people to check it out every once in a while.
Exactly, and go into the stores, because the stores want them to come into the stores, and we'd like to encourage that too.
So then, for instance, when either the product group here or third-party companies want to make some new content available in that form and fashion, where do you get involved as far as the supportability of that piece?
I haven't had a lot of interaction in that area because the feature itself is pretty consistent.
Okay.
So it doesn't really matter what the content is. It's downloaded the same way onto your memory unit. It resides in the same location.
Cool.
So I don't need to interact with it very much. Sometimes there may be a situation that occurs that we need to do something to make sure that it operates properly, and that's when I get involved.
Okay. Cool. Do you have anything else?
No. I've been amazingly awake this morning.
Yeah.
I'm surprised myself.
Yeah.
Well, certainly wanted to thank you for coming out to the studio today. Very very cool information here. And like to encourage everyone to hop out to your local retail stores and check out these kiosks. We've definitely got a huge amount of people that that put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into those things for you, and they're definitely some really really cool. From my standpoint, being a gamer, it's one of the cooler things that I've seen in a while, because previous kiosks that I've seen have never featured this level of interactivity, and you know, especially like the whole memory unit thing and the whole bit. It's definitely very cutting edge, and I'm definitely proud of that work for sure.
Yeah, oh, yeah, sounds... definitely. And I think the thing that we're really excited about is over the next couple of months, people are going to start seeing cameras attached to the kiosk so they can start seeing that functionality And it's a new feature that people will be able to see on their Xbox 360. They'll be able to test that out in the kiosks so they can decide whether or not it's
awesome.
No problem.
Cool.